Welcome to the Brave Plug Podcast, Season 2, Episode 4 with Marizan.
Welcome to the Brave Plug Podcast, Season 2, a podcast / podcast where we share stories, testimonies, and touch on the bravery from the ladies here at Silo Ministries. Today's episode is a little bit different. We're going to be hearing from Marizan Dabir, and she'll be sharing her testimony from battle to breakthrough. And I'm so excited to be interviewing you today. Marizan, how do you feel?
I'm honestly nervous, but it's such an honor and a blessing to be here, sharing what God has brought me out of. And, you know, I'm excited to see where he's still going to take me.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. So I know you have a lot to share with us, so we will dive right into it. So for starters, I want you to just, I want to kind of understand personal battles. So my question to you is, can you share personal experiences of the struggles that you've had and the emotional impact that it's had on you?
From a very young age, I've been struggling with my identity. You know, it's been a very big emotional, spiritual, and a physical battle. When I was about maybe 6 or 5 years old, we moved into a house where the previous people living there did witchcraft. And we never knew that until my aunt came to visit, and she could see into the spirit. She could see spiritually what's happening. And me being the youngest, before we knew it, all of those demonic spirits latched onto me because spiritually I was unprotected. Mm. So it was a bit hectic. It was stressful because I'm the small little child not understanding what's happening to me. I get these random goosebumps. I'm playing on the ground, throwing my baby powder everywhere. But the next morning, there's these weird claw marks etched into the baby powder. So it was scary, especially at that age, you know, and none of us could pinpoint or exactly explain what was happening and what was happening. I've been followed and attacked spiritually a lot, you know, being dragged down halls, lifted against walls. You know, literally the things you see in horror movies was happening to me. The random scratches, the bite marks, literally inexplainable things happening. And at the age of 9, give or take, I was attacked by an incubus and succubus spirit, which opened up, you know, it opened up a lot of rebellious doors and spiritual doors going into my teenage years. I struggled a lot with lust because of that from a very young age. I mean, I lost my virginity at the age of 14. That's not supposed to happen. That's not right at all. And because of these things happening, you know, not being able to explain it to anyone, I didn't really have a lot of friends in school. I was bullied a lot. But because of the things that happened, I obviously struggled with my identity, so I could never stand up to myself. Yet it was no problem standing up to my friends. So the moment I saw them being bullied, I would bully their bullies, but I could never do that to my own bullies. So it was very frustrating. It was heartbreaking, you know, going through that experience. It was a very difficult and emotional part of my life. And going into high school, it just got worse. I started rebelling against God a lot more, going out to parties, drinking at still a very young age. You know, I had some good friends, and then I had some friends that weren't very good for me, especially spiritually. You know, we encouraged each other to do bad things. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, when it came to the guys, you know, a lot of women, you know, the men go around saying that you can't pull this girl, you can't have that one, and I'll show you. Me and my friends, we did the exact same thing. Mm. You know, it was a sport seeing who could sleep with the most guys.
Oh.
You know, and speaking about it, in the moment, because you're so young and there's no spiritual guidance, you know, no relationship with God or the Holy Spirit, you don't know what you're opening yourself up to and what you're exposing yourself to. So it caused a lot of damage in the long run. And with all of the soul ties, it's not just being with that person and getting from, you know, their issues, their battles, their struggles, but also with every other person that they've been intimate with. So at the end of the day, you might think you only slept with one or two people, but actually you ended up sleeping with 15 or 20 people. So that was a hard pull to swallow once I understood that. Because I wasn't a depressed child or, you know, actually very unhappy. And all of a sudden, it just hit me like a brick. I was constantly depressed, battling suicidal thoughts, questioning myself, my parents a lot. Bigger figures in my life, you know, people that had a very big that were supposed to have a very big impact on me, you know. But I was so ashamed in all of it, you know, that I felt like I couldn't speak to them because they had no idea what was going on in my life and I didn't want to disappoint them. So I was facing all of these things on my own and I couldn't turn to my friends because you're trying to impress your friends. That's the thing about who you run with, who you yoke yourself to. So it was difficult once again. Yeah. I felt like this whole situation was just very difficult, you know, facing it alone, being alone in it. That's how I felt. I felt like I was all alone. And eventually, you know, it started eating away at my health. My mental health started going. My physical health, my immune system was basically non-existent. I battled shingles 4 times in 1 year that I ended up being hospitalized 3 out of the 4 times. One time it being in my mouth. That for 3 weeks, hey, it was a very good fast. But for 3 weeks, I couldn't eat anything. You know, I had to drink Prenitro through a straw or only cup of soup, because once I got the shingles in my mouth, I couldn't swallow, couldn't do anything. I mean, we thought I was going to lose my teeth.
But here you are.
Here I am, yes.
So when we were chatting on the side before we had these mics in front of us, you said that you've lived 9 lives and you really were not kidding. Right? Just hearing a bit of this, it's really just so telling that you've been through so much. So you're sitting here today and the person that's sitting in front of me, even just hearing you speak behind the scenes, you're very assured in your faith at this moment in time. Yes. So my question to you is, how has your faith and perseverance led to these significant breakthroughs that you've had?
Well, I definitely didn't do it alone. I was rebelling against God. It's like I knew He was there, but I didn't believe He was there. And just when I thought I've been the lowest that I've ever could have been, you know, I jumped. I tried committing suicide. And one of my friends reached out to me and I'm so thankful for her for reaching out, because she literally dragged me by the ear. She dragged me and bullied me into her mother's car, and I didn't know where we're going, but the next moment I checked, I was at a church and I just remember feeling, no, there's no way, I'm not ready for this. I don't believe in this. How could they do this to me? one of my friends supposed to be there for me, and she knows what she understands in a way what I'm going through. So why would she do that to me? And I remember we're getting into church and all of these people are praising and worshiping, screaming, shouting, you know, praying in tongues and falling over, being hit by the Spirit. And I just thought, what funny witchy voodoo witchcraft place is this? I was like, I want to go home and I want to go home now. This is not the place for me. But they stayed consistent. They stayed persistent. You know, they kept taking me to church week after week, praying for me, interceding, checking up on me, speaking life into me. So I would really say, you know, they played a very big part in me finding Christ. Well, not me finding Christ, because he was never lost. I was the one that was lost. He found me.
I love that.
But yeah, I don't think I could have done it without them or gotten here without them, you know, and if they didn't reach out, I don't even want to imagine where in life I would have been now.
Wow. So all of that, I mean, it created a very resilient you, right? Because all those years of struggles that you went through has built you to this point today.
Mm.
So can you maybe share the prayers and practices that fostered this resilience that I'm seeing today?
So very early on in my prayer life, you know, I didn't really know how to pray. Even today, I'd say I struggle praying because I converse with God more. You know, I talk to him, I share with him. But I learned very early on to ask God to lead me, to teach me and to guide me.
Mm.
Because I knew I was struggling so much and I had a lot of struggles, I knew walking or trying to walk in his footsteps was the best way for me, you know, to not fall back into my old wicked ways.
Yeah.
Because we were made to walk like Christ did. We were put here to do what he did and more. So I just remember that prayer being one that carried me through a lot, you know, asking for his, you know, spiritual discernment, his wisdom and knowledge. You know, it really helped a lot. And having been through what I've been through, you know, it really opened my eyes a lot. You know, the more time I spent with God, seeing what's of the flesh and what was of the Spirit. So I knew that I didn't want to go back to where I was.
Mm.
So coming from the world, I knew that I'm not supposed to open that door again. I'm not supposed to entertain that sin again. It was very difficult. I did stumble. I did fall. Mm. But by the grace of God, and that lead me, teach me, and guide me in all of his ways really helped me run the race.
Yeah.
The majority of the time. So there's that one, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting here like just hearing this and taking it all in. And I'm so shocked by all that you've experienced, because you really are like just such a bubbly, like fun personality just from this few minutes that I've seen you. So what strategies can you share that you use to overcome all of the obstacles in your life?
I definitely started surrounding myself with Christ-minded like people. Mm. I mean, I very quickly realized that if I want to let go of my past, go to where God wants me to be, I can't hold on to the people of my past. Because they'll be like, oh, you're so boring. You're not fun anymore. Honey, I was fun because I was going to hell.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't have that.
Yes.
I can't have that. So I threw myself into church. I threw myself into church events, you know, and I just completely surrounded myself with pastors, leaders, members of the church. Mm. And I was open and honest. You know, I told them what I struggled with. I've mentioned to them likely what I've been through.
Yeah.
I sometimes struggle opening up to people. So I'm very selective with what I share, you know, and they understood and they respected that, you know, they didn't force or pressure me into opening up to them, but they held me accountable, you know, and they made me feel safe, you know, that I could go to them, you know, for prayer, anything, you know, the moment that just realizing before the backsliding starts, you know, you get the small little feeling like, I missed the church service, I missed the prayer, it's been a week, it's been 2 weeks, you know, you haven't done anything bad yet, but the beginning of backsliding, I could already go to them. So surrounding myself with those types of people helped a lot. And I also had to speak life into and over myself. I had to go through self-deliverance monthly because the roots of sin was running so deep.
Yeah.
So I knew there was always a possibility that if I wasn't responsible spiritually, these things would come back. You know, the enemy would come take me. So I had to be very protective of who I surrounded myself with and my time. I barely had a life with my family because I was always in the Word, busy making notes, praising and worshiping 2 o'clock in the morning. If the Lord woke me up, hey, I was warfaring. Yeah. And I remember my parents sometimes got so annoyed with me because, I mean, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, honey, we want to sleep. Go to sleep. You can do this tomorrow. And I was just like, when God speaks, you got to listen. When God comes through, you need to follow through.
Yeah.
You know, so it's something that I really did, speaking life over myself, going through self-deliverance monthly. Mm. And the people that I surrounded myself with, you know, that held me accountable for my actions and my walk.
Mm. So I'm sure there are a lot of young ladies or even just people in general listening to this right now. So can you maybe share some of the lessons that you've learned through trials for them to take something away from that?
The moment you feel like you compromise yourself, you know you are doing something wrong, whether you follow God or you don't follow God. The moment you feel it uncomfortable, it's like your skin crawling even, don't do it. Don't compromise yourself for anyone, for anything. I mean, who you are is so important, you know, and what God has in store for you is so important. Whether you know it in the minute or you don't, God will reveal to you in His perfect timing. So I'd really say being patient.
Mm.
You know, and being mindful of your actions, just overall in general, you know, it's to protect yourself, you know, and confide in trustworthy people to help you get out of situations. I mean, if you are struggling with lust or with pornography, you know, or with drug abuse, don't go tell people that struggle with the same thing.
Yeah.
Go tell someone about it that's probably never done it before, or they just don't entertain it. You know, those are the people that will help you out of it because that thing has no hold over them. You know, and allow people to climb into that hole with you. Allow them to get in there with you, to spend time with you there, and then to help you out again. Because sometimes when we watch people, you know, being in difficult situations, it's easy to just throw in an arm and say, catch, grab my hand, I'm going to help you out. You know, it's different to actually get in there with them if you've been there before. So I'd say, you know, looking up to people.
Yeah.
You know, that's been around the block, that are spiritually mature, that know how to lead and guide, you know, according to God's word especially. You know, I'd say those are the people that are going to help you the most out of life.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So I think my final question to you is, this is an ongoing journey that you're walking on, right? And this is something that you're dealing with every single day. So in closing, can you maybe just share a little bit about the ministry that you're currently in right now, what you're doing, and then also how you maintain momentum to keep faith in these ongoing challenges?
I like tattoos.
Okay.
I'm a tattoo artist.
Okay.
And in the last 2 years, I found, you know, plastering myself with scripture really helps. You know, life is so rushed. And a lot of times we forget things. You know, small nitty-gritty everyday things. Especially me. I've never been an oversleeper, but I've been struggling with oversleeping. Some days I'll wake up 4 o'clock in the morning. And I go into worship and I spend time with God. Some mornings I can't do that. You know, so plastering myself with scripture about letting the past go, looking to your future, you know, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He'll let rivers flow in deserts. I mean, plastering myself full of that, you know, I can just walk, sit down, and I look on top of my knee. And I've got Ephesians, so I bow before the Father in prayer. That's a reminder I see right there. And I speak that over me. You know, it really helps me going. Also, speaking God's promises. Mm. You know, identity is something that we all sometimes struggle with. You know, and it's something we need to confess. You know, and we need to speak it daily over ourselves, you know, so who we are in Christ, you know, the identity, the authority that He has given us, you know, something that really helps me a lot. And especially, you know, reaching out to the next generation, seeing them also struggle so much. I remind them a lot about 2 Timothy. Was it 1 Timothy? I can't remember. But in Timothy, God said that, yes, there are young people, but that doesn't mean they should be treated as any less.
Yeah.
You know, and it's up to them to live a life according to the word, according to Christ, you know, to be the light, to let people yes. see through their actions, you know, who they are. I mean, because if we're not here, who's going to do it? So it's up to the next generation, you know, knowing who they are. And they need to take back territory. They need to take their lives back because the enemy has such a big foothold, you know, looking at the amounts of suicide cases, you know, early teenage pregnancies, all of those types of things, you know. So it's something that we really make a point of to talk to them about, you know, that you don't need validation from anyone. You don't need to impress your friends. Mm. You know, you only need God, and you're not going to disappoint Him. So we really put a lot of
emphasis on that. Yes.
Emphasis.
And that is beautiful. And on that note, I think we will end it here. Thank you so much for your time, for your energy, and also for just sharing your testimony and being so vulnerable with us. I'm sure this is going to touch many lives. And thank you for the work that you are doing with the youth. We really appreciate it. And we will see you again soon.
Thank you very much. All the praise, honor, and glory to God, because it's only Him.
Thank you, Marzan.
Thank you so much.